There's a couple things that are on my mind, Sam.
Oh, give me them. I'm sure you're going to tell me them.
I have two things that are on my mind. First is a big, a couple things. The first is a piece of Paul news. I was rewatching the scene from If These Walls Could Talk 2 where Ellen's boob is shown.
Now you little horny.
For for science. Yeah, you this is an academic podcast. I rewatched it for science.
Where is Ellen's nipple?
Okay, I was getting down and dirty.
Ooh, Sharon Stone, Basic Instinct.
I had Ellen DeGeneres interviewing Will.i.am in the background on her show. And then on my laptop, I have the scene of her having intercourse so that,
lady.
It was kind of like that's her with clothes on and this is her without clothes on.
Oh, getting both perspectives.
Yeah, you know. Anyway, that's besides the point. Why
wait a minute,
is besides the point. The point is, I don't think it was actually her. I think it was a body double. First of all.
But why?
Because you don't see her face.
Okay.
Her face, it's like on the side, like it's a woman who has the same hair, but it doesn't even quite look like her
face.
Is
there a cut?
So you don't see her boobs throughout the whole scene.
Yeah.
And then there's one shot where one boob is visible and you don't really, and I thought you saw Ellen's face, but you don't. It's like some hair, the same haircut, and I don't think it's her. I think it's a body double. If she didn't show her boobs in any other shot, I don't think they would.
This is big news.
It's groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking news.
Groundbreaking, earth-shattering news. So that's my first.
Everybody was waiting for this.
Everybody was waiting for it. And I don't.
Is it real? Is it Ellen's
I don't
breast?
Think it is. I'm willing to bet my reputation on the fact that that is not Ellen's boob. That was a body double in the movie.
I'm upset.
It hurt when I first realized it.
Well, Michelle Williams had to show her boobs.
In every scene. Yeah. She wore that see-through shirt. She showed them off in every scene.
Sharon Stone showed her breasts.
Yeah, but Ellen.
So what? Ellen just is like, whatever. I don't need to.
Yeah, but she. I mean, she.
Good for. She can make her own decisions, but I mean,
she's doing what she feels comfortable with. She's being. But in my opinion, being a little wimp.
Yeah, being a little wimp. Everybody else is doing it.
My second piece of news that'll lead into a good pun is that my great grandmother died yesterday.
Jeez, what?
No joke. She actually died yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay. I wasn't very close with her. She was a wonderful woman. And she died. And I knew I was coming here to do this today.
Was she a big fan of Paul?
She was a giant. I got my love of Paul through her.
Yeah.
But the news is my mom texted me today, and she said I get to be a pallbearer.
Wow.
At the wedding, or at the wedding. Sorry, the funeral. At the funeral, I get to be a pallbearer, right? That's what it's called?
Yeah, pallbearer, it is.
And when she texted me that, I've been talking Paul all day with you, and I was like, holy shit, what are the odds?
Your mom's just one of the gang.
So I wanted to commemorate my great-grandmother on this podcast by giving her own clip. So
wow.
I know. It's really nice.
This is nice.
So there's a type of clip on this podcast here that our laughter. We have like Julia laughing, you know.
A lot of laughter.
That one goes on way longer than I remember.
Yes.
Holy shit. Julia laughing again.
Oh, that's a good cackle. That's a good one.
But I wanted to give her own. So this is
this your grandmother laughing?
This is
your great grandmother laughing?
This is to you, Grandma Mary. A long life well lived. Can't wait to be your pallbearer as she looks down from heaven. Here is my grandmother laughing in her own clip. I'm sure this is exactly what she wanted her likeness to be used for in the future.
Oh my goodness.
No way.
Yeah,
that's so lovely.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. And yeah. Now she's part of the canon.
Now she's part of the Paul, now she'll live on forever
the
in
Paul-verse.
This podcast where her great-grandson talks about boobs.
Ellen's boobs.
Michelle Williams' boobs.
Aisha Wock's boobs.
Yeah. It's nonstop. So she's in a, but she's probably hearing me talk about that Ellen bit and she's like.
She's laughing. Goodness.
It's a very wholesome laugh. Julia's is very intense, but this one is wholesome.
It's nowhere near a cackle.
Anyway, that's my news for the week.
I'm sorry to hear that. Found out
Ellen's boobs aren't real and my grandmother's
upsetting,
dead.
But I'm glad she can live on.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad she can live on too.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to me. Do you have anything new?
Yeah, I want to talk about this guy that keeps tagging us in all of his Paul Giamatti posts.
That's
He's
amazing.
An impersonator on Instagram. You know this.
I didn't hear about this until today.
His name is Matterday Night Live.
Okay.
It's a pun. It's supposed to be Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. And he is an impressionist, and he does this. I don't think it's good, Paul impression. It's okay. A bad Paul impression. And I'm not gonna.
I have clips here. You sent me some clips to pull for the podcast.
I want you to play this for the people.
Okay, so this is Matterday Night Live. He's an intern at Fallon.
I don't really.
He's
know.
In New York. That's what on his Instagram bio it says. I think intern at Fallon.
Late night with Jimmy Fallon. He's trying to do something. He's trying to get out there in the world.
But he does Paul Giamatti impressions, and these clips are of him doing Paul.
Of him. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. This is the first clip.
Mrs. Adams, Bobby Axelrod, you are a bad, bad boy. I'm going to grip some candle wax on Wendy tonight, and she's going to do the same to me. It's going to be really, really bad.
Yikes. I think that's as good as my impression.
It's so bad.
I think my impression might be better.
Give it.
All right. No, that was about to be Jim Carrey. I almost said all righty then. He reminds me of Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Like, that voice
but
is not really
way.
Paul. No. That voice is just, like, all over the place. Like, Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
That's
He almost has it at first.
Let's play the second clip and see if it gets any better, okay? Here we go.
Spoiler, it doesn't.
Matterday Night Live on Instagram.
Okay, this is me going on a rant as Paul Giamatti. Because the thing is, when I get really, really fucking mad,
my voice will get higher
and higher and higher. Because I played John Adams in the HBO miniseries, John Adams. And now I play Chuck Rhodes on Billions. And Bobby Axelrod is going to be killed or killed mentally because he is weak.
It's too high pitched.
It's not quite there.
I don't like to see him commit crimes at all.
Matterday has got some work.
And I'm glad you started tagging us in your post because we can give you some constructive criticism here on the podcast. I assume you listen because you tag us in all your goddamn posts.
Yeah.
Matterday Night Live. What you're doing right now sounds like Jim Carrey does Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah.
It sounds like Jim Carrey doing Heath Ledger's Joker. It's like, okay then, what I'm going to tell you is...
Alrighty then.
It's gross. What you need to do...
His low Paul's kind of okay.
Yeah. I mean, the second clip sounded a little bit better.
Okay, this is me going on a rant as Paul Giamatti.
It's where he ramps it up. It's not good.
He gets a little too into it. Like, you got to be reassured in the voice.
He loses himself in the impression.
Be reassured. Stay confident, you know? You got it. Like the baseline is there.
There's some sort of essence there that he's
You are capturing it. Just don't stray too far.
Don't overdo it.
Because I feel like he gets excited with the voice. Because it's fun to go up high. It's fun to go down low.
He likes to yell. Paul likes to yell.
He likes to yell.
When you're channeling Paul, you feel it.
But here's the thing. Paul took 30 years to figure out how to yell perfectly in his roles. Mm-hmm. And that's him as a human.
Can you hear Paul yell? Let's compare.
You want to hear Paul yell?
Yeah. Let's compare. Give me a good Paul.
Okay, let's get a good Paul yell. Say something while I pull up a good Paul
there
yell.
There could be, I know there's one called OMG from the most recent movie.
Oh, you want, okay.
You could do that.
Yeah, I got it.
See how that goes.
Oh my God!
Maybe something, a little something from, what do you call that movie? Private Life?
Private Parts. He was also in Private Life. Here is
watch
him.
It now
okay,
on
yeah,
Netflix.
Yeah. Here. I like this one of Paul.
You have violated my wife.
I did not.
You soiled the sanctity of my home.
Because there is something to it where he gets very, he enunciates very heavily. The sanctity of my home. Mm-hmm, you know, but.
And he does ramp up.
He does. He
does have a woo to it.
I think Matterday has all the right ideas.
Yeah.
But as we are academic experts in this field. Mm-hmm. I think you just got to work on the details. Like, it's all about the details. You got the general idea. Now you have to hone the craft.
Yeah.
You know?
You're so right. He has all the elements. They're just not put together properly.
So keep tagging us. We want to see your journey. And we'll keep talking about you.
Of course.
Why not? Nobody else emails
us.
It obviously worked. Yeah. So, keep tagging us. We'll keep following your progress. And hopefully you take some of this to heart.
And we'll keep you folks at home updated.
Yeah. What's Matterday up to? We'll let you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you want to get into the podcast?
Let's get right into it, baby.
Welcome,
Welcome back to Giamatti, 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 your one-stop, fully academic, encyclopedic source for all things Paul Giamatti.
I'm your host, Sam.
And I'm your host, Dan.
And boy, oh boy, do we got a little bit of Paul news for you.
And boy, oh boy, was that our best intro yet.
Damn right.
That's like a template.
Good
that's,
work
that's
to,
good
the,
stuff.
To the Paul bearers over here.
Thank you. My great-grandmother died. Yeah, let's get into the Paul news.
Okay.
So this week, Paul was on the late show with Stephen Colbert.
Correct.
A little interview, you know. He's doing the rounds for Billions. Billions, if you didn't know, Billions is... That almost sounded like Paul. If you didn't know. Okay. I don't know. Billions is still airing.
Yep.
You know, on Showtime. You know, it's doing its thing.
Every week.
I don't even know what it's about because we haven't watched it yet.
Mm-mm.
But it's doing its thing. But Paul was on with Stephen Colbert, and they were talking about Billions. And I heard some interesting things. I mean, we heard some interesting things. We watched it together.
We held hands.
We did. And I didn't listen too hard because we were kissing. he talked about in the role of Chuck Rhodes, which is his character, I am led to believe by Paul. He in the first episode, he's hogtied and naked, which was so shocking to me because we were talking a couple episodes ago if he ever does nudity.
And I guess he does. Well, we don't know if he's nude.
We don't know.
He's hogtied.
And
it's Showtime.
Yeah. And we don't know how it's filmed. We don't know how it's filmed, of course.
I want him to be naked.
Me too.
I don't need to see Paul's wiener.
But even if it's not in that scene, that shows that, like, he's willing to go there, you know? So maybe in another piece of media sooner, he'll be naked.
Because he's participating in some S&M.
Yeah, some S&M.
What is it? BDSM? I don't know. Same deal.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not well versed in the arts.
I'm not in the S&M community.
But anyway, did he say anything else of note?
He also had to actually self-harm himself on set. No cutting situations. He had an elastic band on his thigh and he would snap it for the scene. And he said he actually did it and he said it really hurt.
Damn.
And he had to feign pleasure.
A committed actor.
Very committed.
An actor.
An actor's actor.
Oh, the other thing of note that he said on the show, he announced that he was going to have a small part, like a multi-episode arc in Lodge 49 next year in the newest season. And that's a show on AMC that he executive produces.
Yeah.
And now he'll also have a little appearance in it. So that's exciting.
Interesting. More things to look forward to that we're not going to watch.
For many years.
Many, many years.
But we'll get there eventually, Paul.
Damn right, folks.
You can keep chugging ahead, but we'll catch up. We'll catch up fast.
Because guess what, guys? If you didn't know, you're new to the podcast.
Explain what it is.
We are watching every goddamn thing Paul Giamatti has ever been in.
Every fucking goddamn thing.
The first thing dubbed over in Polish all the way up to now where we just watched Big Fat Liar.
How incredible.
And boy, oh boy.
This is one people have been waiting for. When we talk to people about the podcast, everybody's like, when are you doing Big Fat Liar?
Who's Paul
Big
Giamatti?
Why should I listen to a
podcast? Remember you got Blue with Amanda Bynes and Frankie Muniz? Oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
You're right, though. The first question everybody says is, why are you doing a podcast about Paul Giamatti? I don't care about Paul Giamatti. I won't listen to your podcast, even though you're my friend.
Exactly.
The second question is, when are you doing
and
Big Fat Liar?
Exactly. I'll listen to that one.
Yeah, I'll check that one out. So I'm excited for our bump.
It's going to be good.
But yeah, so we watched Big Fat Liar, and I guess that takes us to Paul in the movies.
Damn right. So Big Fat Liar.
So this like movie was
He was Blue. Okay. Frankie Muniz is in it.
Amanda Bynes was in it.
$50 million budget. That's it.
Cool. Call it a day.
Yeah. Talk to you later, man.
Just kidding. We're kidding.
Paul. All right. After a young boy's school essay is stolen by a Hollywood producer who turns the idea into a hit film, the boy travels to Los Angeles to claim his credit.
Nice.
That's Frankie Muniz. He is upset.
Shenanigans really ensue. Paul in this movie is very interesting. Paul plays a character named Marty Wolf.
Mm-hmm. A big time, big shot Hollywood movie producer.
I don't know
that makes dog shit movies.
Yeah, bad movies. And he's an angry man. And but I also wanted to say here that Paul Giamatti in this movie. Do you know what he's named after?
No.
So Frankie Muniz's character is called Jason Shepard.
Okay.
And he's Marty Wolf. There's a little old story about a liar.
Oh.
The boy who cried wolf.
Whoa.
Who's a shepherd about the wolf eating the sheep.
So this is supposed to be a Boy Who Cried Wolf story?
Their names were named after this. Yeah, because the kid's lies and then it bites
nobody
him in the
butt. Nobody
believes
him, blah, blah, blah. Gets into summer school.
So how about that?
Tough times.
Exactly. No, well, you know how the story goes.
That's a little tale for you, a little folklore.
Anyway, I thought I would let you know about that.
Well, thanks, Dan.
Yeah, so basically it was directed by Sean Levy, who directed my favorite movie franchise of all time, Night at the Museum. do you have a problem with that?
I thought it was National Treasure was your favorite movie franchise.
I've never cried. There's only two of them. I can hardly call that a franchise.
Yeah, fair.
Once they come up with a third one, then you can win back your rightful spot in my heart, Nick Cage and the National Treasure crew, Jerry Bruckheimer Productions. But
Jerry Bruckheimer, really?
Yeah.
Isn't that the guy that did Survivor?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't remember.
Anyway, but Sean Levy did Night of the Museum, which is a trilogy that made me cry in the third one. I torrented and watched the third Night of the Museum.
What was
movie?
The third one? That's not the Smithsonian one. That's the second one.
No, they go to London. Oh. They go to the British Museum, and it's a really sad send-off because Robin Williams died between the second and – or died during the – or he has, like, a small part in the third one, but, like, died maybe partway through it or, like, right after or something. So they did a really nice send-off.
Don't tell me that was – no, that wasn't Robin Williams' last movie. No.
No, I don't think so. But maybe he died afterwards, but before the movie came out. Right. I forget. There's something – it's really –
something touching with Robin
touching
Williams.
Touching with involved. Robin Williams. It was a nice send-off to Ben Stiller and the crazy cast of characters, you know, we got to love. You know,
you know, the King Tut character.
Who you mean, Rami Malek?
I'm a fan.
It is Rami Malek.
Chamomile tea. I'm a fan of handwritten letters.
I'm a fan of you, Rami Malek, as Pharaoh, in Night of the Museum.
I forgot that.
Do you remember that clip?
Rami Malek. He's been working for years.
Yeah, he put in his time. Yeah. That Oscar is overdue. Anyway, it was directed by Sean Levy, I guess. There's also this really awkward video on YouTube you can find. If you Google, like, Big Fat Liar interview, there's only one interview that comes up. It's with the director, Sean Levy. I guess he's maybe on a press tour in Israel or something. Or if not, it's even more awkward because he's standing. He's being interviewed by this Jewish reporter, and Sean is Jewish. And every question is about Judaism. And about Israel, and about like how is he's raising his kids, and his name isn't Jewish, and like everything is about like Judaism, and it's really strange. And
is it an awkward interview, or does he answer the questions earnestly? Or?
It starts off pretty awkward.
Yeah.
Because the first question the interviewer, I wish I had clips. The first question the interviewer asks is about Jews in the film industry.
Okay.
But he's also Jewish, and he makes like a self-deprecating joke, and then Sean's like, let's not be self-deprecating Jews here. And then the only questions he asks are about like Judaism and his family.
Wow.
and Judaism. It's very strange.
That
and
is
I,
very
I
strange.
Have to assume it took place in Israel or something. Oh yeah. He's asked the question if he'll ever make a movie in Israel. Like it's very strange.
Wow.
Anyway, and that's the only interview I could find.
Not with Frankie Muniz.
Well, I did find a behind the scenes video with some like interviews in that, but that's the only ancillary interview.
Right, right. Like media interview.
Yeah, it's wild. Anyway, so the movie was a budget of $15 million.
Tight. Tight budget.
It was it made $53 million worldwide, which is pretty awesome. A success if you'll call it.
Movie, yeah.
Mixed reviews, kind of overall. Rotten Tomatoes gave it 42%, A-minus cinema score, so audiences seem to like it. One other thing, it was written by Dan Schneider.
Okay. Who's Dan Schneider?
Of Nickelodeon fame, like iCarly creator, Drake and Josh creator.
Oh, shit.
Like, it has all that vibe to it, especially,
oh, wow.
Like, you know, like Urkel and the Chicken and stuff. Like,
yeah.
it has a very Nickelodeon vibe to it,
yeah.
Which is, like, the voice of Dan Schneider, I guess. Do you want to talk about what Roger Ebert gave it?
Roger Ebert gave it 3 stars.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy. I kind of understand, though.
I mean, I did like
he
this
likes
movie.
He likes Paul. He is a fan of Paul.
Do you think that's it?
I kind of think he likes Paul Giamatti.
Because
yeah.
Last week we talked about how...
He's definitely going downhill, though.
His opinions are starting to...
He gave 3 stars to Big Fat Liar. Like, it's a bit much.
It's a little bit much.
Like, come on, Ebes. But he says, a lot of the funniest scenes involve Giamatti, who's the target of so many practical jokes by the two kids, that his life becomes miserable. The best... He talks about the blue dye stuff.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that.
Like, he looks like a member of the Blue Man crew.
Which oh, and he not, mentioned storytelling.
The Blue Man Crew is not the proper name,
his
Roger.
His broad humor is dramatically different from his needy, imploding documentary producer in Todd Solondz's storytelling, which also opens today.
What a crazy piece of trivia, huh?
That is crazy.
Storytelling opened the same...
You remembered Trivia, the movie that he watched 3 times to give 2.5 stars.
Oh, I bet he's an expert in that movie. I may love Paul Giamatti, but I'm never watching Storytelling again.
Dear God, no.
Never. There's better, worse Paul Giamatti movies to watch.
This movie's much better.
I would watch this movie again. I really enjoyed this movie, actually.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, too.
Do you want to get into it a little bit? Actually, I have this clip of the cast kind of talking about the plot of the movie. Just to give people a little taste, you know, a little overview of what the movie has in store. Here it is.
In the movie, Jason writes an essay for school, and Marty Wolf finds the essay and turns it into a movie.
And there's this trailer coming on. Oh, Big Fat Liar. And I'm like, that's my story. I think I wrote that. He said to his dad that he had done it. And so he wants to get his dad's trust back. So that's really what it's doing, because he's a liar.
Oh, so there's a real heart to this movie.
Frankie did the heavy lifting for us. I think we're done.
Yeah, and call it quits again?
Call it quits.
No, there's a real heart to this movie, you know? His dad thinks he's a liar because he is a liar, and he has to earn back his daddy's trust.
Prove
he's
wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And so basically, why don't you explain the setup to the movie?
This isn't Amanda Bynes is in her prime. I believe
almost it was before she was in other movies. So this
is that right?
This is earlier.
By prime,
then.
I mean not crazy.
Yes, yeah. I guess it pre-crazy. Though she's doing well now.
Is she? Is that right?
Yeah, she was.
We having an Amanda Bynes renaissance now?
I don't know if we're having a renaissance, but she was on the cover of this magazine, and she had a big story about her like drug addiction in the past and stuff. But she's put it behind her.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, so it was like drugs and stuff. But this is before all that. I believe she was a big star on TV. She had the Amanda Bynes show, yeah. Of course, with the Lobster Men and stuff.
That
classic.
It was a great show.
She is really funny.
Yeah, she's
a real gem.
I know.
She needs to have
a renaissance. I used to watch that show all the time.
Me too. It was so good.
It was really good. Yeah.
She did the Judge Judy character or whatever.
Yeah, like she has great characters. She's a good little. She's a funny lady. Yeah.
So funny, and it shows in this movie.
Yeah.
But it was so she was already big on TV, but then in this movie, this is her first film role.
Right. Okay.
And originally, Lindsay Lohan was supposed to play the character.
Oh, that's interesting.
But then something happened. Something happened with Lindsay Lohan, and she had to leave.
I remember when I saw Lindsay Lohan.
Oh no, she took a break from acting for a year, and so she dropped out of this movie.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Probably do some coke. Some cocaine.
I remember when I saw Lindsay Lohan in Herbie Fully Loaded.
Yeah, man.
And I was.
You
taken
were fully
away.
Loaded.
I was. Oh yeah.
You were cocked and fully loaded.
Well, I remember that she did like a music video for one of the Herbie Fully Loaded songs. Mm. On Fam Jam.
Oh, I love Fam Jam.
Oh, and
if you're not in Canada, Fam Jam, we have like a...
It's the Disney Channel offshoot.
Yeah, and so they would have the same things as Disney Channel, which was like music videos and fun like kids things.
Yeah,
and
but it was Fam Family Jam. Channel. Family Jam was where they showed music videos from Disney Channel movies and like other properties.
Incredible.
But I remember they used to have... they used to do this one song that was in... Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh, okay.
Like on Fam Jam, they just used to show this music video. I'm like, I don't know why this is here, but I love it.
That's
great.
A really strange choice.
But anywho.
Yeah, anywho.
Frankie Muniz too.
Yeah, Frankie Muniz is in this movie.
Malcolm in the Middle fame, and we found out he has no memory of his life anymore.
How sad is that?
And also was on Dancing with the Stars, did great.
He was fantastic. If you are at home, finish
the
podcast.
He's buff. He's kind of losing his hair a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's a dancer.
He is so good at dancing. You definitely have to look up clips.
Yeah, you really do.
Like, look, as soon as you're done here, look
great.
Up clips. It's insane. They're all on YouTube.
He can't move his hips too well because he got in a bad NASCAR accident.
So, like, the thing about Frankie Muniz is so interesting is that, like, he made so much money and then retired.
Before he was even
at, like, yeah, like
30.
17 or something. Yeah. Like, he retired so early because... He was in this movie, then the year, which was a hit, the year after he was in Agent Cody Banks 1.
Yeah.
And then
he was already doing Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle, earning so much money. And then so he retires early. And I remember as a kid hearing that and being like, fuck, I want to do that. Because he's like just driving NASCAR stuff.
Yeah.
And then he got into his crash and had like a billion strokes.
Billion.
He had like a billion strokes.
Like a billion strokes.
But they're like micro strokes. And his story is so tragic.
And he just lost a lot of his memory.
A lot of his memory.
Doesn't remember Malcolm
stuff.
In the Middle. He says he doesn't remember Malcolm in the Middle at all.
How crazy is that? And Bryan Cranston, the sweetheart, like helps him remember and like will talk to him and it like.
That's lovely.
Yeah, but
I'm glad they're still close.
Me too. But like, it's tragic.
Yeah, it is tragic.
Two tragic child stars.
Because Frankie Muniz is great.
And he's still so charismatic. Like on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yeah, still recent, seems like a great individual.
A great guy. I hope pretty he down comes to back earth. Into more stuff.
Nice. Yeah, me
yeah.
too.
I would love to have Frankie Muniz.
Oh, I'd love a Frankie Muniz Renaissance.
They should make a sequel.
To Big Fat Liar?
Bring them both back.
Oh my God. That'd be great.
Because like if Amanda Bynes is doing better right now and Frankie Muniz is like on Dancing with the Stars, might need some money, yeah. but he's doing really good.
It makes sense for Paul. He's doing billions. He's a sadistic, maniacal motherfucker. On that show.
Oh, my God. Sam.
And it makes sense. That's exactly what he is in this movie. Bring it back, folks. Biggest, Fattest Liar.
Well, that's the sequel, right?
Yeah, there was
a direct-to-DVD sequel called Biggest, Fattest Liar.
Yeah.
And that was with...
Or Bigger, Fatter Liar.
Bigger... Okay. So the sequel, which was, I think, is about a... It's the exact same premise, but it's about a video game instead of a movie.
Okay.
And I watched, like, half of the trailer before this. And and so that's called Bigger, Fatter Liar. And then we bring back...
For the
Paul,
biggest,
Amanda,
fattest
and Frankie,
liar. Yeah.
Biggest, Fattest Liar.
There'll be a dance number for sure. It'll be great.
It'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into
let's
some movie
get
a little
right
bit.
The movie.
So Frankie Muniz didn't finish a school paper, okay? And because the plot's really intense, follow along carefully. and will fail eighth grade if he doesn't get the finished assignment to his teacher by the end of the day.
Whoa.
The stakes are high.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he comes up with a story called Big Fat Liar, finishes the assignment in record time, and then is late to hand it in, however. And then Paul Giamatti hits him with his limo. He gets into a limo. And
to be fair, he hits Paul Giamatti's limo.
Yeah, I guess he's on a bike. You know, these fucking cyclists in these streets nowadays.
God damn it.
He
look left and right.
He should have been wearing some reflectors.
Yeah, in broad daylight. But then, yeah, he smashes right into Paul's limo.
Yeah, who offers him a ride, and then he accidentally drops his paper in the car.
Yeah,
he goes into
there.
The school, and they're like, where's your paper? And he's like, I did it, I swear. And they're like, we don't believe you, little fucking liar.
Paul notices it, big fat liar.
Yeah.
New movie. Because Paul's a huge movie producer. We already said
big
this.
Movie
big
producer.
Big time movie producer. Very famous.
There are some famous faces I saw, even in the first little bit of this movie,
Sandra
who I really liked. Sandra
Oh
plays the teacher.
Grey's Anatomy fame.
Grey's Anatomy. Taron Killam is the bully. Do you know who Taron Killam is?
No. I recognize
his
face.
He was on SNL for a long time.
Oh, right.
He was in Hamilton. Yeah,
very
so
nice.
so he was
He's in
the
Hamilton?
Movie. He played the king in Hamilton for a little bit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Anyway. Love it. Like, great faces. And throughout this movie, so many famous people.
Yeah.
Kenan Thompson is in a scene. Donald Faison is in it from Scrubs, who plays the limo driver.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And more people than that.
Very famous individuals.
You know, it is a story about Hollywood. All the stars
Whoa.
And glamour.
And there's, like, a lot of props that we see, too. There was the Psycho House, Bates Motel.
Yeah, there was the... Yeah. We talked about how all the apes look like the Who's last week.
Yeah.
But there's the Grinch. Like,
the Grinch costume.
Grinch
headless.
Suit.
Headless.
Just the big Grinch belly.
Yeah.
Insane. Yeah, so this movie is full of
that
Hollywood facts.
Is on the screen.
Oh, of course.
Paul steals Frankie's idea.
Uh-huh.
And then Amanda Bynes... Amanda Bynes is Frankie's best friend in the movie.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. I'm glad it's nice, a platonic
friendship.
Yeah,
there's no romance there,
which is really good.
Nice.
And then they're watching a trailer for Big Fat Liar.
Mm.
Frankie loses his shit.
Yeah.
He's like, we need to go claim my credit. This is bullshit. This guy's stealing my life.
Exactly. He really freaks his lid.
he really freaks his lid, huh?
Doesn't he? He like really, okay.
Flips his lid down.
This is a clip when Frankie realizes that he stole the movie.
Yeah. He's trying to convince his parents.
You struggle and struggle with, but the great ones, well, I mean, they just come to you.
Yeah, from my backpack, you loser!
Calm down, Frankie!
Whoa. The yelling is for Paul.
Yeah. Step off of Paul's territory.
Yeah, get out of here.
Get away from
you know what he was hired for.
From my backpack, you loser.
So he's trying to convince his parents. It doesn't work. His parents think he's the liar boy.
Yeah.
Then his parents leave. Perfect opportunity for him to go to Los Angeles and get his credit, get his claim.
This is such a fun kids movie because it really is just wish fulfillment. Like, it's so much fun that just, like, it is a movie of shenanigans and plots. And it's just, like, over-the-top chaos and fun. And I really enjoyed this movie.
I liked it, too.
Like,
and I hadn't seen it. I have no nostalgia factor embedded in this movie.
Yeah.
And I liked it a lot.
We were laughing here.
But also because it's a lot of Paul.
Paul is a great character in this movie.
Paul is fantastic.
I do have the nostalgia factor. I had this on DVD or VHS or something when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched this a lot. I really liked this movie, though I kind of forgot all the details. I mean, obviously I knew he turned blue. That's an iconic scene.
Yeah.
But there were other scenes that really brought back the memories.
What's that?
Some of the shenanigans. I mean, we'll get there. But there were some specific things that like really, really got me.
Okay.
And
okay,
I think
okay,
it holds okay, up. Okay, my okay, big okay. fear before going into this movie was that it wasn't going to hold up. Like it was going to be shitty.
Well, it does.
Like it's, I mean, luckily. It's a kid's movie.
Yeah. You obviously come into it with that lens. You're not watching it. Ooh.
And it's not really like, there's not a whole lot there for adults other than it's pretty wacky. But it's like,
what do you mean there's not a lot there for adults? Roger Ebert gave it 3 stars.
Right. If Roger likes it, then I guess I do too.
Also, he mentioned Robert. He mentioned Ebes.
Oh, you're right. Maybe
that's why.
We nailed it.
Yeah.
We obviously. Know
it. Not only his favorite actor, Paul Giamatti, he also gets mentioned by him.
Yeah. Oh, that's how course. You nail the movie.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
want to hear that mention?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, well, everyone has a dry spell, Ebert.
Do you think Roger Ebert just fucking creamed his jeans there?
Oh, my God. He couldn't get enough.
And do you think Siskel was jealous?
Oh, Siskel hates Paul.
Siskel must have been livid.
Little do you know.
A hot gossip around the at the movie's office.
Siskel hates this rotund Italian man.
What if Siskel hated Paul and Roger loves Paul?
I really hope so.
And it's like a real, real divide for them.
We'll find out.
What
did you? It's like pig yeah. vomit for kids. It is.
That's what
like
I thought.
Pig
yeah.
vomit for kids. You're very much right.
I think I'm at the point with Paul Giamatti now that I can start to tie together everything from his other movies into one movie.
Yeah.
Because when I
you can see all the influences. You can see where his range. You can see where he's tried
you
things
really
before,
can.
And now it's kind of amalgamed into this like. This comedic character.
Like, no fucking joke.
Yeah.
We've watched so many movies. And I remember when we first started doing this podcast, we would joke about it and be like, oh, he's pulling from this or doing this. Like, we're watching
yeah.
the progression of it, which is ridiculous.
But now it's kind of true.
Because we'd only seen, like, 5 movies.
Yeah.
But now watching this, I'm like, oh, he's totally channeling pig vomit from Private Parts.
Oh, absolutely. It's
but, like,
pig
in
vomit,
a PG.
Yeah. It's pig vomit PG and also without a Southern accent.
Yeah. He's fixing
weird
his mistakes.
Southern accent that comes and goes.
Yeah. Close.
No, it's great. And this is Paul at his best.
I think so.
Truly.
I don't.
Like, he's playing to all of his strengths.
I almost don't want to say
actor.
It. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to say, but I think this might be his best performance yet.
Oh, Danny boy.
Maybe not his best performance, but my favorite performance. Because
yeah.
he gets so much time to shine.
Yeah.
He gets such silly lines. He gets to yell so much.
Yeah.
He gets to make crazy faces. He dances shirtless. He gets to slap his own butt.
It's a real character.
Yeah, he really sinks his fake teeth into them, huh? His fake monkey teeth.
He's really going for it. And we get more monkey noises from him this time around, too.
My God.
Because this character has this weird little... stuffed animal that he names Mr. Funny Bones.
Yeah, talking about making connections. The last movie he does is Planet of the Apes, and in this movie here, he has this monkey that he keeps talking to and wanting to protect.
Well, I mean, he spent all that time at ape school.
I guess, you know, it's really paying off. He just feels connected to any sort of monkey.
Yeah, and you see it on the screen.
You see
all
it on the screen.
His influences.
The ape school is definitely something we'll come back to over and over and over again, because as we all know, he was the teacher's pet.
And holy fuck. Okay, so back to the plot.
Yes, please.
So... really glad their relationship stayed strong. So they go to the Los Angeles.
A Los Angeles.
And they
as
confront
Donald
Paul,
says. Yeah.
Who has a W-shaped desk because his last name is Wolf.
Yeah.
And it has a W-shaped. Could you imagine shaping a desk as a B?
It's impractical.
Doesn't make sense.
Let me tell you that. It's impractical.
I don't like it.
No, no.
So then he gets in there. Paul's being a real dickhead.
Yeah.
And he burns his paper. He still has the kid's paper.
Yeah.
And he burns
yeah, yeah, yeah.
it in front of him. Oh, my God. Frankie Muniz doesn't know what to do.
It's
and?
Really mean. And then what the hell is Frankie supposed to do next, huh?
Oh,
he's out of options. He's let loose.
He
can
know
only
what to do.
Go out for... Would you like a Tarantino remake of this film?
In what capacity? They kill him?
Well, like the thing is like...
Oh, they're just trying to do some Home Alone pranks. And then they actually end up killing him.
Oh, my God. I love it.
The dye poisons him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And slowly he gets cancer.
Over the course
something.
Of the day, he's just getting more and more sick. And
radiation
then he just passes
thing or
out
whatever
and dies.
It is. Yeah, yeah. Man, that'd be good. Probably not as fun. But
no
another but one. Another role Paul could really sink his teeth into.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's committed.
He is indeed. So basically, because
they want to fuck with him now.
They want to fuck with him, and Frankie Muniz steals his day planner.
Yeah, his Palm Pilot.
His Palm Pilot. So they have access to all the security codes, you know, with schedule, where he's going to be. Mm-hmm. And so they put in the first phase of their plan, of their operation, which is reconnaissance.
Yes, sir. And they decide, well, I don't know what the fuck they actually do during this period.
Well, the first phase is just watching. And then they get to act.
Watch on a bit. That's good. I'm glad that they did that.
Me too.
Then they dye him blue.
Oh my god. Okay, so then
they pour a bunch of dye into his pool.
They put, because they're living in a prop house on the lot.
Oh yeah, they just find a warehouse. Let's go stay in here.
And so they're staying in this lot, so they have access to like anything they need. So they go to his home, and also the limo driver starts to help them out.
Oh yeah, because he's like, fuck that guy. I used to work for him, and he's a real dickhead.
Because everybody in Hollywood there has been like. He's been mean to. Like, there's so many people he's hurt. And so basically they take blue dye and pour it in his pool.
Yep.
And he jumps in and he comes out blue. And they take
and it's real good too.
Oh man.
It's a nice shade of blue.
He's so blue. Which is also really funny to me that he would dye himself blue in this role right after he had to do all this makeup for Planet of the Apes. Or right before. Right. Like, these movies were filmed like
But he enjoyed himself. He liked being in the makeup chair. He got to watch sci-fi movies.
You're right. We did learn that. So maybe he continued. Yeah. Maybe he's like, well, I can watch more Ultraman.
You guys want to get cultured?
Do you want to hear Paul talk a little bit about his makeup experience?
Oh, from this movie?
From this movie.
Whoa.
Paul talks about being blue.
We got deep research Dan over here.
Hello, I'm back.
The blue stuff, they just airbrushed on blue tattoo ink. Several layers of it. All through the day, they keep adding more and more of it. It was not hard to put on, but it was hard to take off. Yes. My feet, I couldn't get it off of for a while. I don't know why my feet in particular, but my feet were blue for months.
He
blew his feet.
He blew his feet. But that's so much fun. And then they dye his...
That's fun. And then, wait, there's more fun.
they dye his hair red.
Orange. And they're having more fun, Dan. Then they super glue his earpiece into his ear.
Yikes.
That's a lot of fun.
Okay. What else do they...
Well, they have even more fun. And then they send him... They send him to a kid's birthday party as a clown. And that is so much fun because all the kids try and kill him. But then...
Fuck.
Oh, Paul, he looks like a blue version of the Joker because he's wearing like this like purple suit.
He's wearing such strong colors.
He looks like the Joker. And he's kind of maniacal.
No, I'm Paul.
I'm Paul.
Yeah, yeah. You know what else
he
did?
Yeah.
He goes to that birthday
party.
You know
the other fun they have?
The other fun thing that they do is they really fuck up his car. They rearrange all the things. So when he presses the brakes, the honk goes off. The honker screams and
he's like, whoa, what's this thing doing? Whoa.
Fun
song plays. What was the song that played on his radio?
No, when he's swimming, he's hungry
his
like
blinker.
The wolf. Blue, da-ba-dee-da-ba-da. Now listen up. Here's a story about a little guy who lives in a blue world. And all day and all night, everything he sees is blue. Something inside
is
and outside.
Is this actually the song?
Blue is, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were making this shit up.
I think I messed up a couple words, but it's generally the song, yes.
Wow. That's deep in your psyche. Huh?
I'm an expert. No, but then this brought me really back. This is one of my biggest moments of nostalgia from this movie because I didn't remember it until he pulled up in his car and there's a big monster truck. Mm-hmm. And the guy jumps out, this big red
Hulk of a man. He reminded me of the guy from Safe Men, the Jewish gangster from Safe Men.
Oh, Big Fat Bernie.
Yeah, kind of.
But he's wearing this big mesh like tank top, mm-hmm. and he starts yelling at Paul, and then he runs over the car with his monster truck.
It was good.
I really liked it. It really hit me. I was like, fuck this scene.
Oh, you remember. Because
I knew he was going to turn blue. That's obvious.
Yeah.
But that scene, I had no idea was coming.
Yeah.
And that just, like, all the memories flooded back. Yeah, so they get into some real shenanigans.
I'm happy you got to walk through your childhood with this movie. It's always nice to revisit your childhood favorites.
It is fun, especially when they don't disappoint like this movie. Yeah, like, exactly. Genuinely, I had a really fun time. And I would recommend other people watch this movie.
Yeah, it's fun.
Because it's an easy watch. It's like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And Paul's ridiculous
and
in it.
And it's not that much like cringy family fun humor.
No.
It's just like, it's like generally pretty funny movie.
Yeah.
3 stars.
You know what? I made fun of Raji at the beginning.
I'm with him.
I stand with Roger.
Yeah.
3 stars.
3 stars.
Do you want to hear some clips from that first little bit of the movie?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically,
I want to hear Paul's reaction to when he got blue.
You want
to
hear Paul's reaction?
Oh, I think we already heard it. The OMG.
Well, let's play it again. Here we go, boys and girls.
Uh-oh, he's blue. Zoom out.
Yeah.
He's real upset.
And I love the echo at the end of that. That is a beautiful clip, if I do say so myself.
Indubitably, sir.
This is Paul when he hits Frankie Muniz with this car way at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Sir, I think we just hit a kid.
I'm on the phone.
Sorry about that. Apparently we ran over a kid or something.
I love that. After. How can you be that indifferent? You bad man.
Yeah, bad man.
Bad boy, but man. Oh, good outfits from Paul in this movie, too.
We have to talk about it. Cause
we got to talk about his swim shorts.
We'll get there.
What do you mean?
I just want to say, first of all, though, talking about connections between movies, I think this movie tops his Safe Men outfits.
Yeah, it does.
In Safe Men, he was being a Jewish gangster, and he was wearing really funny outfits.
He was wearing a mesh tank top, though, in that movie. Or a shirt.
And in that movie, too, he had the leopard print tracksuit that he wore to the bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
But in this movie, he has like fun sunglasses. He has a goatee in this movie. He like the facial hair is on point.
He's looking trim. He's looking well groomed.
Is it a W for Wolf?
Oh, I didn't notice that. But that'd be really funny.
Let me double check. You talk about his outfits.
Double check. So he's got some fantastic outfits. First up, we got the pink suit that we already talked about when he's blue.
Yeah.
Which bad choice. Not good. He also is wearing another suit that has like roses on it. He was wearing what else did he wear? He was wearing like this gold suit. When he was in the limo with little Frankie Muniz, what else was he wearing? I mean, those swim shorts just were just butter, just cream.
Okay, I have an image of his facial hair here. I'm working to get a nice. Oh, where did it go? Come on.
Help!
I have him. His swim scene here is here. Okay, it's not a W. He has it around his chin. If anything, it's more like a V. There's a line around his chin and then a little goatee thing under his lip. So it's kind of like a V.
I see. So there's like a dot beneath his lip and then the V.
Yeah, so not quite. Chin. A missed opportunity, if I do say so myself, but that's something they can fix in the sequel.
He does have a W desk. It would have made sense for him to have a W goatee.
Did you mention his swimsuit, right?
I mentioned it quickly. And it's beautiful.
It is so small.
So tight and so small.
It's
gorgeous. We don't need him to be naked anymore.
No, I saw enough.
No, but he also has that great. He also
in
has
a kids movie.
He also has that great dance scene.
Yes.
Before he got blue.
Yeah. So he's getting ready to go to the pool, and he's like a real.
We've only
weirdo.
Seen him dance in Safe Men. There's a lot of parallels between this and Safe Men.
You're right. Do you think there was some direct influence taken?
I think there was. I almost said Terry Solondz, but that's not the director of Safe Men. It's the guy that wrote Zoolander. Anyways.
I don't remember.
Whatever.
Over.
But lots of parallels. Good outfits. Crazy zany character.
The dancing. He dances in this one. He's getting ready to go into the pool, and he does this big dance that I think should be iconic. Like if other dance scenes, like it's right up there.
It's iconic to us.
But I think it could go hand in hand with other dance scenes in movies. Like, you know, everybody talks about the Ex Machina dance scene where they're dancing.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about like, I don't know, like Boogie Nights and shit.
Yeah. Pulp Fiction.
I think Paul outside his pool
should go down.
Shuffling around
in cinema history.
It at least equals the truffle shuffle from Goonies.
Oh, for sure.
If anything, it's an adult truffle shuffle.
The truffle shuffle from Goonies. But Paul, do a little Weight Watch quickly. Looking good. He is not that big and he's not that fat.
He kind of has like a just before becoming a dad body. Like he has like young dad body.
He's almost at dad body.
Yeah, I agree. In like a really good way.
Yeah. He's looking awesome. Yeah.
And it doesn't look like it doesn't feel like he lost weight for this role. He's just doing it for himself, you know? He's healthy. Yeah. He's doing good.
He looks healthy. That's the thing. He looks healthy.
He might have sweat off the pounds as Limbo.
Much like Michelle Williams in If These Walls Could Talk 2.
Yeah.
Full.
Full figured.
Very full.
Very full. Jesus Christ. I think he might have sweated off in while wearing the
while dancing.
Ape, no, no, while wearing the ape prosthetics under like an ape
right.
suit.
You're so right.
In the hot jungle heat, I think he sweat off all the weight, and now he's a skinny Marty Wolf.
And he's like, cover me in blue.
Is there anything to do with him wanting to be animals? He's a monkey, and now he's wolf.
Oh. I don't know.
Food for thought? I don't know. Just came up with it.
We'll stick to that.
Keep
series.
An eye on that
Keep
one.
Keep an eye.
Anyway, so back to the movie. Basically, Marty has a party.
Whoa.
Oh, bring it back.
Rhyme alert.
Marty has a party.
For the premiere of his garbage movie with Urkel. Urkel's in it.
Yeah.
And it's actual Urkel, too.
But the stakes are high because the studio head, the new president of the studio, says, your movies are shitty. You gotta fix this movie. He's like, I'll tell you my big idea.
He already got fucked over by Frankie and the gang.
Yeah.
Because he was supposed to meet with them, but they sent them to a party.
The clown.
They sent them to the clown party, and the kids beat him up.
Yeah.
So he's already in hot water with the president of the production company.
He's on thin ice. And so Frankie Muniz says, I will help you with your idea because I wrote the story.
Yeah.
To save the movie, if you call my dad.
Comes at the last moment.
Yeah. If you call my dad and tell him that I wrote the paper, that I did my homework.
Yeah, pull me out of this lie.
Also,
you big fat liar.
Frankie should just be asking for points on the back end, am I right? Not asking for him to call his dad.
Yeah, because this guy's a real jerk.
Get some points on the back end, baby. That's some business talk for you.
Points on the back end.
You know.
Ah, this guy's learning about finance, huh?
But he's 14, and the movie makes that abundantly clear. He probably doesn't know about points on the back end.
Probably not.
Can we put that on a t-shirt?
I don't even know about points on the back
points
end.
Points on the back end? You don't want to get... That's like getting money on the profit or whatever. Points on the back end.
Wow, look at you.
Anyway.
This guy is media conscious,
hello,
folks.
Hello.
So yeah, Frankie comes in. He's like, you got to do a presentation.
Yeah.
He lied because, what is it? Marty Wolf lied to the president, said, oh, I got a big presentation about this movie. Don't you worry.
Because he's a liar.
My funding
will be
secure.
He's a big, fat
secure.
Liar.
Yeah. And then he's like, what are you going to do? I have no idea, he says.
Yeah.
Frankie comes in. He says, I got you. We're going to talk. I'm going to give you the twist ending to this movie. You're going to tell the whole audience.
So Paul goes
and
out
so
there.
He does.
Does it. Everybody's won over. They're like, this is incredible stuff. And
which that was not Frankie's plan. Obviously.
No. But the movie producer or the president of the studio says, you have tomorrow, like tomorrow, starting production tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like if you fuck up, it's done. You're off.
This is your last straw, Marty Wolf.
Exactly. And so then he goes back to Frankie Muniz and calls his security and doesn't call his daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're stuck at the prop department until the morning when they're going to be sent back on a flight out of Los Angeles.
But they get an army.
Oh, my God. This is when it gets good. I love it when movies bring a whole cast of characters together to fight a bad guy.
So we've been seeing a lot of people that have been slighted by this man over the course of the film.
It's like the Avengers of the big fat liar universe.
Of family, Universal Family Films. It's the Avengers. Big Fat Liar is the Avengers of Universal Family
Honestly.
Films.
Honestly.
Truly.
Sorry, yeah.
So then they get the whole gang together. They get the army is formed. With Marty Wolf's assistant, who's been dejected by him, been brought down by the man.
Brought down by the man.
She's looking to bring the man back down.
Yeah.
So then, they get the whole army together, and they got a very, very well choreographed plan to bring this man down.
And then they do it. Basically, it involves. I mean, we don't have to get into the details.
It involves a lot of sets.
You should watch it.
You should watch it. Watch it. Anyway, there's this the best shot I think of Paul yet.
Yes.
He gets dropped off in the desert at one point of this whole thing. Urkel drops him off in the desert.
Yeah.
And then he has to get picked up. He gets picked up by a helicopter, and there's one amazing shot.
He's so badass.
This hero shot. And it's two. There's two shots.
Yeah.
This hero shot. There's a helicopter in the background, blurry in the background. And then you got Paul standing there like a badass motherfucker. It's amazing.
Because the planes.
Then they get
like
the reverse shot
in.
Of that of him like looking at the helicopter. Oh, he's looking badass, folks. Badass.
Like, Paul's just standing there in the foreground, right? Mm-hmm. And you hear that chop, 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 chop,
like we're in an apocalypse now.
And you see it, like, in the blurry, through the desert, like, atmosphere.
Yeah.
You see the helicopter coming, and he turns around. And he doesn't even look mean in the shot. He looks war-worn.
War-worn.
He looks war-worn.
He is drawing off
He's
of
battered.
His Saving Private Ryan experience.
For sure.
You can see
and
it.
And that helicopter comes down, and he hops in. And then those kids fake a helicopter crash, and he has to cling on to a man for dear life as they tumble to the ground, and if he died, everybody would be arrested for conspiracy
and manslaughter.
And then
Frankie Muniz is running with his little Mr. Funny Bones guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get up on the roof.
Oh, my God.
And he fucking spills the beans.
No.
But little does he know, Frankie had it planned all along, and he's filming him from every angle.
Shit, boy.
And the whole world sees that he's the biggest, fattest fucking liar.
He's the biggest, fattest fucking liar. Oh, he's the fucking fattest liar. Oh, my God. He should just fucking kill himself. I thought they were on top of that building. I thought he was going to jump off the fucking building. Frankie Muniz does, but into a little thing. But he's the biggest, fattest fucking liar.
He's safe. He did a stunt and he landed on
him. He's safe, but...
He's definitely
the
not the biggest,
fattest
fucking
liar.
Liar,
you know, because, oh, my God, I wish he had just...
stuff right there.
oh, my goodness.
It really is wholesome.
So wholesome. Anyway, so Frankie Muniz saves the day. He outs Paul Giamatti for being a big, fat liar.
Hey, forgot it all. Who fucking cares?
No, so he gets his comeuppance. And then they make the movie, and the limo driver's the main actor, and everybody likes the premiere, and the studio is happy, and it's a big happy ending.
And his
ending.
Dad says, I'm proud of you, son.
Yeah, and that's worth it in the end, right?
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. Just kidding. Instead of getting my daddy to be proud of me, I will want points on the back end.
I'm sure you got paid handsomely.
I would hope so. That kind of does it for Big Fat Liar. Do you want to hear some sound clips?
Yeah.
And then we
they
can
got
talk
some
about,
great clips, folks, coming up.
We got some good clips.
Stay tuned.
So, and then we can talk about Paul a little bit. Yeah. Give our review on
Paul.
Okay. Well, the first clip is something that might not be called a PC these days, okay? Everybody's changing it, but Paul says a line in this kids' movie that might not be PC.
Uh-oh.
Hey! Pedal to the metal, Ricky Ritardo!
Clever. There's a lot of movie puns in this movie. I do like that. Ricky Ritardo.
What? What is Ricky Ricardo in? Who is
that? No idea.
Me either.
What a day. Whoopty doodle dip.
I think I got it on lock.
Oh, okay.
What a day.
Yes.
Holy shit.
What a day.
Back
Master up, Matter Day Night Live.
Hey, Matter Day Night Live. Go fuck
go
yourself.
Fuck yourself, you big fat liar.
Whoopty doodle do.
Yeah, you're good at impressions. Well, my boy Sam can do the best impression of all.
What a day. Oh, who was it? Who was actually saying that?
Who knows? We'll never know. This is a clip of when Paul's pitching his new idea for the movie at his party, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What the fuck was that?
I'm sorry. The emotions in this movie are just so painful.
Oh, because
he
rips his
earpiece out. Yeah.
Because they super glued it to him.
Here's another one.
What is this big... presentation you're giving about the movie.
Mm.
I have no idea!
I like that a lot. I'm just going to clip I have no idea for the future.
Nice. I have no idea!
But that is actually a good clip for Matter Day Night Live to look at because it starts soft and builds.
I have no idea!
I have no idea! I can't do a polio.
Well, it's hard. And I wonder if he has to do like drink tea or something. That's something we should ask him if we ever get to talk to him.
Matter Day Night Live or Paul Giamatti?
Both. I think we should connect both of them.
We should have them on both at the same time.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And we'll make them Matter Day talk in his Paul accent
the whole
and we'll never
time.
Know who's who.
Yeah.
You are lying through your teeth, you little demon.
That's Sandra Oh.
She's intense.
You are lying through your teeth, you little demon.
I would hate it if she said that to me. I'd be very scared.
Mm-hmm.
This is Amanda Bynes doing a voice. I thought she was so talented in this movie. She's so funny.
We already said that,
but she's so funny. Here's her
she
doing.
She doesn't shine too much in this movie, but we know.
Well,
Paul
and Frankie Muniz are the stars, but she is a very funny supporting player.
Can I take a message? Mr. Wolf is about to go into a meeting. Uh-huh. Sandler.
Mm-hmm. She's just really good.
She is good.
Here's a clip called Moron.
What do I look like, a moron?
Which does mirror, where is it? It does mirror some other clips like Thanks Moron.
Thank you, you moron.
And it also mirrors, what's, oh.
You got
it's
surprised.
It's still playing.
Fuck.
And then also clips like "You're a moron."
You're a moron. Now shut up and sit still.
So I like seeing the.
What do I look like? A moron?
We're really connecting all the dots today.
I feel like we're beautiful minding it.
We're coming into our own with our encyclopedic knowledge of Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, we had to create ourselves, but the encyclopedia is slowly building.
Oh, it truly is building.
This is a clip called Mr. Funny Bones.
It's showtime, Mr. Funny Bones.
You hear that?
Yeah.
Lip smacking?
You cute little monkey, you.
It's not even fuck it.
That's
oh,
ape
there
school.
It is. There's his monkey.
That's ape school. Oh, my God. Hold on. Okay, hold on. I'm going to see. Sam, follow me here. Let's see if I can do this.
Or are you going into Planet of the Apes? I know what
I am.
Doing. I see
here we go. Ready?
Here.
Okay, I'll get that for you.
I combined both of them. I'm a genius. I'm a clip genius.
I'm a genius.
But yeah, he did do some monkey there.
You can tell he's a little out of practice.
Yeah, it's not quite as strong as originally, but, you know. It's
he's not playing a true-to-life ape.
Yeah, oh, of course. Yeah. He's just trying to communicate with Mr. Funny Bones.
He's a man playing with his monkey.
There's a weird B-plot in the movie where Taron Killam's character starts working out with Amanda Bynes' grandmother, and this
it's
is
not
a clip.
Weird.
Sorry. What is it?
Sexy.
How many more, baby?
50. I got your rib, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Feel no burn. Yeah. Because I'm the best, baby. I'm the best.
Yeah. That was sexy. You're right.
It was pretty sexy, huh?
Next, we have Paul talking about Hollywood.
This is Hollywood, baby. It's a dog-eat-dog town. Worse, we got cats eating cats. We got fish munching fish.
This is...
We play by our own rules.
Yeah, this is prime for
Matter
Day.
This is prime Matter Day.
Matter Day. Fucking listen,
get in on
We're
it, brother.
We're helping you, brother.
Come on.
This is called Gotta Look.
Got to look good for the first day of shooting. Do you copy that, Mr. Funny Bones?
He is just
That's
so...
a big 10-4, Marty.
I didn't realize that clip was not done yet.
Yeah, Mr. Funny Bone, weird little thing, huh?
And then also, if you're new to the podcast, we have many clips in our archive. There's something that we really love, which is emotionally charged food dialogue, lines of dialogue about food. We have things like historic chili dog.
Don't do this to me. Don't make me remember this chili dog forever.
Remember it. Make that a historic chili dog.
We have chicken changes.
Last night over a handful of chicken, I told her I thought my life was in need of some radical changes.
We have eat a sandwich.
You cannot Ryan, just sit here and eat a sandwich.
We have fast food by Paul.
I say we take the country back from the McDonald's and the Pizza Huts and the Wendy's.
We have big toast.
Will you take all that money and you go buy yourself a big piece of toast?
And now to add to the Paul Giamatti canon, we have burped meatball.
No.
And with every ounce of gas I had left in my body, I burped that meatball right across the room.
Wow. That with inspirational music backing it, no less. Holy
it feels so
shit.
Good.
It's been a while. It's been a long time coming for us to have that, you know, tense moments punctuated by food dialogue.
I can't believe we keep finding them. I love it so much. It might be the greatest contribution to society our podcast is making.
We're broadening the landscape of cinema.
There will
at
be
this point.
Every movie I ever make will have a line about food.
Oh. Absolutely.
An emotionally charged line of dialogue.
Emotionally charged line
food.
Of dialogue with food relation.
And now here's a line about poop.
Hey, Kaylee, you got a plunger? I took a dookie and I clogged up the toilet. Oh, boy. Oh, no.
Oh, I made a dookie.
Pardon?
We're almost done.
Okay.
Adios, sugar pop.
That's what we'll be saying when we're done.
What I wanted to say, though, much better poo humor than that was in what's that one movie? Big Black Lady.
Oh, Big Mama's House.
Big Mama's House.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah. It was called Big Mama's House, not Big Black Lady's House.
Sorry
for your
I didn't
for
mean
your
to.
Note.
She is though a big black lady.
Yes, but her name
I'm
is
not
Big
wrong.
Mama.
Pardon me.
Her name is Big Mama.
Both of us are correct.
Anyway, yeah, you're right. I like that joke way better than the other
Dookie.
One.
Dookie. I like poop because we're doing Dookie.
Dookie.
I'm like,
it's kind of cute, and you laughed so hard at that joke. I mean, it's funny.
I still think it's really funny.
I like it.
I like Dookie. Dookie's really funny to me.
There's a good grandma character in this movie.
Same with Making Brown.
I don't like that one. Dookie's funny. Making Brown sounds
making
so
brown?
Gross.
You don't
Holy
like
shit.
Making Brown?
No.
I have to make Brown.
Here's another clip by a grandma.
Get glasses, grandma!
Up yours, blue boy!
I like that a lot. She's great.
She was awesome. And she, what did she say in the other one?
She said it again. She said, called him blue boy again.
Oh, okay. That's fun.
I didn't clip it. That's fun. This movie's just really fun. And if anything I took away from this movie is that I loved it as a kid and it's really fun.
Booyah!
That guy's pretty good.
He's pretty good. There's a couple other clips I'd like to share with you, some behind-the-scenes trivia from Ooh. I learned some interviews with Paul.
Boop, 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 boop. We got Deep Research Dan coming
Deep
in.
Deep Research Dan. Hello, hello. And then we'll call it a day, and we'll move on with our fucking lives for a week.
Nah, for God's sakes, please.
This is Paul on the director, Sean Levy.
I went to college with Sean.
Ah, he's
we did
so
some
Jewish.
Plays together, so it's nice. I mean, he's a guy that's really
you're
good
You're not
at
the
what
interviewer.
He does.
You're not the interviewer.
That's what Paul said.
I went to college with Sean, and he's
Fuck
very Jewish.
He's so Jewish.
How did this get into the Nickelodeon behind the scenes? Yeah. What fuck up edited this? Wow.
Oh, Lord. I'm glad he didn't say that.
No, because that would have been rude. That would have been not fun.
Not fun.
I went to college with Sean. We did some plays together, so it's nice. I mean, he's a guy.
Oops.
Good at what he does.
I'm too click happy with my clips. Here's one. So, here's Paul's inspiration behind Marty.
I based the character on a couple of people that I've met. I didn't have to do a whole lot of research. I just remembered a lot of the stuff that these guys did. I haven't really worked with people that yell and scream that much. No, I mean, I've been lucky. But you can be mean without yelling and screaming.
That's true.
Interesting.
It's very true. Here's Paul talking about Frankie Muniz.
You know, he's totally at ease. That's what's so enviable about it. That kid is smooth as silk, cool as ice. He's good.
He's good.
Cool as ice. He's good.
Let's play a clip.
I mean, I like to think I'm not much like Marty Wolf, but I kind of enjoy playing a guy like that, and I don't think I'm much like that.
See? He enjoys it. He loves playing those characters.
I think it's an outlet for him.
Honestly.
Ah, now we know something deeper.
See, we're learning. We're learning!
Paul Giamatti, he's the coolest guy. I mean, seriously, he's so hilarious. When we were doing rehearsals, he was just so funny that it's so hard to get through the scene.
First time I saw Paul was on stage when I was going to school. I just think he's fantastic. So before I even read it, I knew that Paul was already in it.
Even when I was reading the script, I didn't imagine the character like that at all. But now that I've seen Paul play Marty like that, it couldn't be any other way.
He just brings so much to the table. It feels like he brings something new.
Who's that?
Every time he acts.
I didn't mention the indignities when I offered him the role. What I promised Paul straight up from the get-go
is
that we weren't going to just make some lame, soft, patronizing kid movie. We're going to make a movie the kids will love, but a movie that is sharp and arch and satirical.
The story's a piece of shit.
Wow. That was good. I like that behind the scenes a lot.
Thanks. So that's the cast on Paul there.
I love him.
They really do like him.
They love him.
He's a prolific guy. Last week I forgot to
Dan,
mention.
Dan, what is he? He is an actor.
An actor's actor. Last week I forgot to say an important piece of trivia about Planet of the Apes. When asked if he would come back for a sequel, he said of course.
He wanted to.
He wanted to. And he said it would be very interesting to see what monkeys
would be
like.
Where they were going to take it.
Where they were going to take it.
I want them to stay on Earth.
Yeah, he was like, I want to see monkeys smoking cigarettes and like
driving cars.
He loves the idea of a sequel, and so he was asked what he would what would be next for Marty Wolf, and this is what he had to say.
Oh, he's gonna be back. He'll be back on top. Absolutely, he's been there before. He'll get back up on there.
So he's looking up, you know.
He's
Paul Giamatti,
for the biggest fattest liar,
is looking up, and if there's anything we can do to get the biggest fattest liar underway, let's try and do it.
Bring more light to it right here.
Yeah,
right here and now.
Yeah, we're trying to get the movement started.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. I like that.
Thank you.
I like that.
Next. Sorry, I had to swallow after that burp.
Okay. What do you rate Paul?
Oh, Paul rating? I would give him an 8. I really liked him.
I'd give him an 8. I'd give him a 9.
9?
I'm 9.
I'm going to stick with 8.
Thing is, I'm going 9, but I'm going 16 Logans and 18 Pauls.
Oh, interesting. I'm doing 24 Logans and 2
Jakes.
Pauls. Two Paul Boy, fuck.
I know, I did. Two you Jakes. Did the same thing that I did, yeah.
Two Jakes, 16 Logans.
I mean, it's 16 Logans, 18 Pauls. Or, fuck, 18 Logans. 18 Jakes.
I think that makes sense.
Right? Makes a lot of sense.
I agree. Mm. So that concludes this episode of Jamadi.
The Jamadi Podcast.
Hell yeah. We're the gang.
You can find us on Instagram at Jamadi Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Jamadi Podcast. You can find us, guess what? On Facebook at Jamadi Podcast. Also, what's the other thing that we plug? Ah, email. You can email.
Sorry, what?
You can email us at emailjamadi@gmail.com.
Yeah, I think that's about it. Next week, we're going to be watching a movie called Thunderpants. It's another kids movie, I believe, starring Rupert Grint. This is a movie I have never seen. I don't think you've seen it.
No.
I remember
seeing, right up my alley.
I remember seeing a
lot of
DVD.
A lot of brown.
Did you look up what it was about?
But no, just from what you told
me. I think it's about him farting. I'm not sure. Let's listen to the trailer. We have the trailer, and then we'll see you next week. This is the trailer for Thunderpants. And Paul plays
Johnson. J. Johnson.
A hilarious name.
J. Jonah Jameson. Ah, trumpets. French horn.
Ooh.
We appear to have lost communication with the rocket.
That sounds like Paul, right?
It does sound like Paul.
It's hard without visuals.
The chamber's primed for influx.
What's the chances of this happening?
We're plumb out of ideas. We're in trouble. We need a miracle.
All right, then. The United States Space Center are on a constant search throughout the world to seek out children with gifts.
That's why they came and found me.
From the director of the
Smash.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Comes an adventure that will blow you away.
Yeah, it is about farts.
Hot dog!
That's Paul.
Starring
that was Paul.
Rupert Grint from Harry Potter.
You're going to be a spaceman.
Oh, was that Harry?
And introducing Bruce Cook as Patrick Smash.
I like this voice actor.
We're Patrick and Owen, the team.
Get ready to reach for the stars as
like younger in a world
friends guy. Take one giant leap.
We have lift off!
That's Paul.
Thunderpants.
Genius.
Okay, I was
genius.
Right. So it's a family film about a boy whose incredible capacity for flatulence gets him a job as an astronaut. Cannot wait.
Wow, that's awesome. That sounds great. Holy fuck.
So I'm excited for next week.
Very excited.
If you watch the movie, send us your thoughts. But in the meantime, we hope you have a great week. We will see you tomorrow. See you next week. Blessed be the Jamadi.
Praise be.